Good morning, I'm Anthony Morneau. It's 6:45. Scandal-plagued Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt recently resigned. But as Tramell Gomes reports, conservationists are concerned about current EPA Chief Andrew Wheeler, who was Pruitt's deputy.
After allegedly overspending on everything from pens to lavish trips and accepting questionable deals from lobbyists, government ethics and watchdog groups say Scott Pruitt's resignation as Environmental Protection Agency administrator is long overdue. During his one-year tenure, Pruitt was seen by conservatives as one of President Donald Trump's most effective cabinet members, working relentlessly to dismantle Obama-era regulations aimed at reducing pollution. Stephen Spaulding with Common Cause says Pruitt's questionable past was widely known, and his group had urged Congress to delay the confirmation when Pruitt withheld documents revealing corporate influence in his decisions as Oklahoma Attorney General.
He was clearly unfit for the position of public trust that he was in as administrator of the EPA. I think we were extremely troubled that the majority in Congress really refused to hold him accountable, and in our view, were complicit.
Spaulding says he has similar reservations about Andrew Wheeler. Environmental groups predict the Trump administration will continue its pattern of appointing the least likely candidate to head the agency. Kara Cook-Schultz is director of U.S. PERG's Toxics Program and thinks the president should take time to really understand the purpose of the EPA.
Scott Pruitt has failed in the EPA mission to protect human health and the environment. And Americans are less safe today than they should be due to his poor decisions and leadership.
Like President Trump, Pruitt voiced skepticism about mainstream climate science. Andrew Wheeler also doubts that humans are a primary cause of climate change. I'm Tramell Gomes reporting.
Republicans have taken some heat over last week's hearing involving an FBI agent. Here's commentator Walt Rubel.
I was warned years ago that anything I send or receive over my work email could eventually be made public if I or the newspaper were ever sued. It's a warning I've tried to heed. But I have no doubt that if every message I've ever sent or received on my work phone and email were made public, there would be some that would make me cringe. Undoubtedly, some would show bias. Undeniably, there would be some snark and profanity. Which brings me to Thursday's U.S. House hearing on the emails of FBI agent Peter Strzok. For those who didn't get a chance to see it, it was like watching a pack of small terriers fighting over which gets to be the first to make love to a football. Not that I watched the whole 9-hour affair. I caught about an hour before I went to work and then another hour at lunch. It was just wrapping up by the time I got home in the evening, and they were playing the highlights, including Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona, telling Strzok, a 22-year veteran of the FBI, that his previous career as a dentist made him an expert in body language, giving him insight into Strzok's obvious bias that others might have missed. Or Louis Gohmert of Texas, asking Strzok if he had a smirk on his face when he lied to his wife about an extramarital affair. That prompted Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman of New Jersey to tell Gohmert, "You need your medication!" But my favorite part came after the very first question, with Strzok explaining that he had been told by the FBI that he couldn't answer questions involving an ongoing investigation. Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte of Virginia then launched into his obviously well-rehearsed effort to hold Strzok in contempt of Congress, only to be cut off at every turn by Ranking Member Gerald Nadler of New York, calling for a point of order. A frustrated Goodlatte would tell Nadler that he couldn't do that, only to have somebody whisper in his ear that, yes, he can. It happened over and over. The best comedy is often unintentional and arrives with its twin brother, tragedy. There were parts of Thursday's congressional hearing that were by far the funniest thing on TV that day. But the sum effect of it all was tragic, at least for those of us with any remaining respect for our tattered institutions. For those unaware of Strzok, and I can't tell you how much I envy your ignorance, he was a high-level FBI officer cheating on his wife with a co-worker named Lisa Page. At the same time, he was involved in investigations with both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. He and Page exchanged emails expressing negative, often profane views of Trump, and a desire that he not be elected or impeached if he was. I suspect that if we could look at every email or text message sent during the first week of November 2016, we'd find a lot of that, including among the GOP House members who are now defending Trump. But Strzok is not just anybody. His position demanded that he be held to higher standards, and when he didn't, he was removed from the investigation. The Strzok story is a cautionary tale about keeping private messages on private servers. Attempts to turn it into something more than that by Republicans in Congress turned comical Thursday. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel with the Las Cruces Sun News.
Well, Rubel's columns appear in the Sunday edition of the Las Cruces Sun News. You can also read him in the local viewpoint section at krwg.org. Rubel's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of KRWG or NMSU.